So we're going to hear from the Bible. We're going to hear from the book of Genesis, read by Liz.
Morning, all. So I'm reading from verses 24 to 31. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and all over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was everything, and there was morning, the sixth day.
So just before I start what I've got written down here, just a couple of things that struck me. Firstly, if you've got an urge to read the Bible in church and I've not asked you, please just let me know. I'd hate to think there was somebody I'm missing out because you really sat there wanting to have a turn and you've not yet been asked. Please just come and have a word with me. And the other thing is I've been given some Bibles this week. There's three or four on the table just over there behind Dan. If you're after a new Bible, you want to just go and have a look, feel free to take one of those, as long as you promise to read it when you get it home. Okay. I'll just say those things while I remember. So last time when I preached in September, I said I was starting a series looking at rest based on this book, All Who Are Weary. It's an excellent book, very well written, really thought-provoking. It's called All Who Are Weary, Finding True Rest by Letting Go of the Burdens You Were Never Meant to Carry. So in the first episode of my series, I looked at Jesus' invitation, "Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest." We talked about how he offers himself, how it's an invitation to us, but it's up to us how we choose to respond to that. I also mentioned that rest is not just sleep. It's about replenishing the things that we've given out and used up during our day. So for the rest of the series, over these next few months, I'm going to look at the things that we carry around with us that we don't need to, things that wear us down, things that distract us from the main things, things that distort our view of ourselves and of other people. It's a bit like carrying a heavy rucksack. Emma said to me, "What's this for?" And I said, "Oh, well, I need it in church this morning." It's a bit like carrying a heavy rucksack. Got things in it that weigh us down. Put it on your back and it feels heavy at first, and then perhaps as you carry it for longer, you sort of get used to the weight, but it's still taking up extra effort, extra energy. It's a bit more awkward manoeuvring your way through things because you've got something on the back. It's only when we take it off that we notice the extra weight we've carried that perhaps we didn't need to. Now, if it's got your picnic in it, or your cagoule for if it happens to rain, then it's probably worth carrying round, isn't it? Because you need those things. But actually, lots of us carry round things with us that we don't need to. So I'm going to look at two things today, and just because I thought we'd have a little visual prop. So we're going to look at two things that we carry that perhaps we don't need to. We're going to look at worthlessness and condemnation. Of course, these are not the gifts of God. These are things that we carry that we don't need to. So I'm going to just put them on there. Let's put them in the middle. All right, now you see, I've not planned for it to roll. There we go. You'll just have to remember what it says. So we're going to look at those things and how we end up carrying them and how we might get rid of them. So firstly, worthlessness. The chapter in the book is entitled Worthlessness Created by a God Who Loves You. Now, some of you know I like to crochet. That's why David was thrilled at the idea of getting rid of some wool to send to off to Albania. I quite like looking at new patterns. All these things pop up off YouTube, all these amazing things that people have made. Sometimes I think, oh, I'll try that. Sometimes when I watch it, it works out really well. Sometimes I start it and then abandon it partway through. It's not quite right, but I don't know why it's not right, so I just give up. Sometimes I scrap it and start again, just pull it all apart, start all over again, see if it's any better. Sometimes I finish it and think, well, it's all right, but I'm not sure I'd bother making another one of them. Sometimes I start off and I just change my mind. To where our worth comes from. We need to know that. Otherwise, our feelings, our circumstances, the things that are happening around us will decide for us how worth we feel, what how much our worth is. In Near Eastern cultures, creation stories show gods who created humans for themselves, effectively as slave labour. Genesis 1, that Liz read for us, shows a very different picture. It shows God creating man and woman in his image, blessing them, providing for them, saying the creation he had made was very good. It shows that people are the centerpiece of his creation. All these amazing things in the world, and the people were the centerpiece, the pinnacle. So where does our worth come from? From God. It's not linked to what we do. It's not linked to what we have. It's not linked to what we give. Our worth, our value, comes simply from being made and loved by God. Jesus' life and ministry show his character, show God's character. We think how he treated sinners, how he treated children, how he treated those the world treated as outcasts. He showed them love and care and value, compassion. He demonstrated God. As we read in Exodus chapter 34, the Lord is a merciful God and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Jesus lived that out in the way he treated people. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't wait until we deserved saving. He showed us that we were worth saving. And yet, many of us carry round a sense of not being good enough, or a need to prove ourselves, to look for approval from the world. Feeling worthless can mean that either we make more of ourselves, showing off, drawing attention to ourselves, looking for affirmation, seeking approval, trying to make more to show that we're worth something. Or I think it can make us make less of ourselves, hiding away, withdrawing from situations, not offering our skills, our ideas. Neither of those things are God's intention for us. That's not how he plans us to live. That's not the best that he has for us. We've been talking about Sabbath in the Practice in the Way groups this week. For me, Sabbath is a reminder that I'm loved by God because I am. Not because of anything I do, not because of anything I offer. Sabbath reminds me each week that I'm loved by God because I'm loved by God, because he made me and he cherishes me. In the book, Sarah says that our culture, family, friends, jobs, economic status, etc., do not decide our worth. Even we don't decide our worth, she says. As the one who formed every bone in our body and every hair on our head, God gets to decide our worth. And he has declared you and me his image bearer, a person deeply loved by him. And through Christ, he has even declared that you are his child. She goes on to say, what if we believed our worth cannot change, no matter what happens or what we do? How does that affect how we treat ourselves, how we make choices, how we treat other people? What burdens does that relieve us from carrying? Thankfully, God is a far better creator than I am a crocheter. When he made us, each of us, he didn't make any mistakes. He didn't scrap and start again. He didn't get partway through and think, well, it's all right, but I'm a bit disappointed. That's not how God made us. We're created by God who loves us and who gives us our worth. So we don't need to carry around in our rucksack the weight of worthlessness. Not because of what we've done, or what we give, how we behave. We don't need to carry it round because God who created us says you are worthy. You were worth dying for. You are worth loving. And I say so. So that's the first weight. We're going to just pause there. We're going to listen to You Say by Lauren Daigle. We're not going to sing it. We're going to stay where we are. We're going to look at the words. We're going to listen and just reflect on how God sees you. So as you're listening, consider your worth in God's eyes. Consider how that affects how you live and how you see yourself.
Thank Let's just sit for a minute with that thought. Our experiences tells us that we're not enough. That other people are better. That we have to do more. Lord, I pray that you can break those lies in our minds, that your truth can fill us instead. To know that you made each of us, that you cherish each of us, that our value comes from you, that you choose. Oh God, for anyone this morning who has lost sight of their worth in your eyes, I pray that you will give them a fresh vision, or maybe a vision for the first time of how precious they are to you. Thank you that we can trust you. We can trust your love. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If that's something you particularly struggle with, I know it's something I've mentioned lots of times over the years, but if that's something you struggle with particularly, don't take it home with you. Don't put that weight back in your bag to take home. Maybe pray with somebody after the service. Start a new journey of believing
God's worth for you. So that's the first thing people carry. The second is condemnation. In the book, she titles it, "The Accuser Will Not Win." TV presenters wear earpieces in their ear, particularly when they're doing live broadcasts and things. They get guidance, they get information, they get updates from the producer. What they hear in their ear affects what they say, what they do, how they respond. I think that happens to us as well, even if we're not on the television. Apparently, according to Google, we have about 60,000 thoughts in a day. Often it's the negative ones we notice most. It's easy to believe the whispers in our mind. I'm not good enough. I'm a failure. People will resent me. I'm not a good friend. I can't believe I messed up that again. Why do I even bother? Sometimes, perhaps, we don't even hear the thought. We're just left with the feeling of failure, of disappointment, of letting things down. Just like our feelings of worthlessness, these thoughts and feelings make us weary and can distract us from being our best. They can hold us back, and they are certainly not God's plan for us. It's important to sort out the truth from the lies. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 tells us that all have sinned. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 tells us the wages of sin is death. There are times that we let people down. There are times we mess up. There are times we've acted rashly. Times we don't make good decisions. Times we've taken our frustration out on someone else. Times we've acted selfishly. I could go on. I'm sure you've got things in your mind. There are times we do those things and that we need to acknowledge them. We need to confess them. We need to ask God for forgiveness. But that's not the end of the story. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned. But verse 24 goes on, and are justified freely by his grace, God's grace, through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God knows we'll get things wrong. And so through Jesus, he offers us forgiveness and grace. But we can miss this and end up very sure of our failures, but lose sight of or miss out on the freedom that comes from God's grace and forgiveness. We can end up carrying the weight of the condemnation round with us, and that stops us living freely and holds us back. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 8 verse 1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's very clear, isn't it? Very clear. In Pilgrim's Progress, Christian is going on his journey through, hoping to get to the celestial city. He comes to the cross, where his heavy burden he's carried that represents his sin falls off. Then he meets Apollyon, who tries to lure him back to the city of destruction by recounting all of Christian's misdeeds along the way, how he fell asleep when he shouldn't have done, when he went his own way, when he listened to other people, when he tried to find the easy path. You can't belong in the celestial city, Apollyon said. All these things you've done, you don't belong there. Don't know why you're even trying. But Christian responds, all those things are true and much more which you've left out. But the prince who I serve and honour is merciful and ready to forgive. I have obtained the pardon of my prince. We don't have to pretend we've not done things. We don't have to hide them, justify them, make light of them. We don't have to be weighed down under them. We can bring them honestly to God and receive his forgiveness. Then we can carry the yoke of grace, not of condemnation. It leaves us free to live and try and love and hope. Satan's lies hold no power over us when we trust God, who has already triumphed over him. So, if you're weary from carrying condemnation, make sure you're listening to the right producer in your ear, that you're getting the right information, the right advice, the right guidance. Listen to God's truth, which talks about freeness and forgiveness and the yoke of grace. Listen to his truth and say, yes, I've done these things and more, and God in his mercy has forgiven me and Jesus has paid the price for me. I encourage you to put down the weight of condemnation. I don't think these things are a once, you just take them out your rucksack. It's not like eating your picnic and you just eat it once and then your rucksack's light and off you go. I think these are things we have to keep putting down, because if you're like me, you keep on picking them back up. So we have to keep making those choices to say, this is the truth. This is what God offers. This is the freedom I want. And keep putting them down until eventually we don't pick them up as much. We're going to sing Boldly I Approach Your Throne. I love it when one of my favourite songs is the song that fits exactly what the message is. I've not written this message so we can sing this song, but this is one of my favourite songs. So we're going to sing it. It talks about when condemnation grips my heart and Satan tempts me to despair, I hear the voice that scatters fear. The great I am, the Lord is here. Let's stand and sing. Proclaim these words because they're true. I love that picture of running into his arms, knowing, sure of his welcome. Amazing. So we're going to pray. And you might want to just pray in your head. You might want to use your body. Sometimes I find doing a physical thing really helps me experience a spiritual thing. So I invite you to join in. It's just going to use your hands, that's all. So we're going to squeeze them, we're going to open them, we're going to turn them over. Okay, if you want to join in with that, feel free. If you want to just do it in your head, that's absolutely fine. Let's pray. Romans 8 verse 1 says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Firstly, if you're not in Christ Jesus yet, today could be the day. Say thank you for his love. Receive his welcome as his child. So I invite you to make a tight fist, tight as you can, squeeze tight, and tight inside. The things that we need to confess. Maybe the words you carry that other people have spoken about you. Maybe it's your failings, your bad habits, the things that get a hold of you, the parts of you that you know are not God's best. I invite you to hold them tight in your hand. Recognize them, acknowledge them, just like Christian did before Apollyon. But then, as we open our hands, as we just release our fingers, we're going to let go of them. We're going to give them to God. We're going to say we're sorry. We're going to ask for his
forgiveness. Things that people have said about us that hurt and wound and restrict us, we're going to let go of. Can't hold them when our hands are open. Then I invite you to turn your hands over, like you're receiving a present, a parcel, a gift. Let God give you his grace, his freedom, his forgiveness. Receive his love for you, simply because he loves you. Let's just sit for a moment. Thank you, Lord God, that you give us good things. Thank you, we can be confident of admitting our mistakes because you love us. Thank you that your forgiveness means we can forgive ourselves. Thank you that you can take the weight that we carry that holds us back, that weighs us down. Thank you for the promise that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.